Damn, what a jam. We're back. Hey.
Damn, what a jam. That's the whitest thing I think you've ever said, Charlie.
Well, thank you very much.
Woo! Yeah!
Imperial 2024.
We made it.
The return begins.
Hey there, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, all of whom are loved and welcome in this space, and this is the Imperial Senate Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Ashby, and as always, I'm joined by my very best friends, Nikki Kumar and Claire Stribling.
Because we're the three best friends that anybody could have, and we'll never, ever, 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 ever leave each other.
What a ride, eh? We're back.
I
2024
know.
January, you know, we're refreshed. We've bathed in the new year blood of our victims.
I don't know what you guys were doing, but I wouldn't do that. Not really, but okay.
Oh, how did you celebrate the new year, Claire?
I stayed at home and I hosted people so that I could stay in comfy pants and not leave my house and not have to drive home. And it was pretty great. That's how you know that I've hit, well, almost 30, you know. My youth is over.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, you know, we're all in that ball zone, aren't we? Of the 30s, nearly.
Balls.
Balls. Thank you, Nikki, because I was trying so hard not to laugh.
We say that and then we laugh at balls. It's good. It's good to be, you know, you got to be humble. You got to respect your age, but also reject your age.
It's called balance, baby.
Absolutely. It's just been crazy. Star Wars has been on. There was a strike.
That happened.
If you're wondering why we haven't recorded an episode for a while, that happened. A lot of stuff happened in 2023. We took a break and we're, you know, getting back into the swing of things. It's interesting to sort of, I can't even remember the last time we spoke about Star Wars, what actually happened, like in terms of what just came out. I think Indiana Jones, we did an episode about Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which was an incredible part of last year for me. Great experiences at the premiere.
Wow, humble brag.
Yeah, well, some of us get that, you know, sweet experience. It was fun. There's a lot of fun people at that premiere, some that I didn't even realize were there until too late, and it broke my heart. Daisy Ridley. I only found out the other day that fucking George Harrison's son was there.
What?
I was like, okay, I just looked at the premiere photos again. I was just reminiscing. He was there. Sam Ryder from Eurovision, if you're a big Eurovision fan, was there. But yeah, most importantly,
The stars showed up.
Yeah.
Speaking of Daisy Ridley, I guess first, my God. Second. Her film. Even Magpie is premiering at South by Southwest in a few weeks in Austin. Ooh. And I'm going to try and be a maniac who like stands outside and get a picture.
Oh, you gotta do it.
So
please simp for
that works out.
Like, make sure that you simp enough for the three of us. Okay, please. I hope that works out.
I'm gonna try. I'm trying not to get weird. Well, I mean, like, I don't mind getting weird enough, but baby. not in a weird, the law is called kind of thing.
just below that step.
Yeah, so I'd be pretty excited if that happened.
Just don't wear the Chapman glasses, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that'd be good. Like, I'm jealous of our British friends at Star Wars Sessions who managed to get a photo with Daisy Ridley.
They were the only one. Because everybody was just sharing theirs.
I know. So, like, and they were like sneakily taking photos on the balcony. I found out one of the photos I took, like, she's technically in the photo. She's like right up in the balcony.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So that counts. But yeah, like, yeah, we'll do it. And fingers crossed, we might get invited to a future premiere, which involves Daisy Ridley as a certain Rey Skywalker.
Could be neat.
You never know.
Yeah.
Lucasfilm does their job properly.
Typical Lucasfilm ruining everything. Yeah, so what we've got in store for this year, guys, in terms of Star Wars, we've got Bad Batch Season 3 trailer just dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty exciting.
Yay.
Yeah.
And it's a yay with a single tear rolling down my face as it is the last season, and I will be sad to see them go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad and good at the same time.
You like,
because
yeah,
it's like you always want something to reach, or it's like it's go out on a high, right? Don't overstay your welcome. That's like the number one rule of seasonal television. And
for sure.
And it's like, so it's like, it's good to know that they found the point where they're like, okay, this is the story. Yeah. But then it is also like, I want to keep watching them, and I miss Omega already and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's going to be good. I'm sure they're going to knock it out of the park. And, we already know now from some trailers a lot of the elements of the season, but I'm sure there are going to be plenty of surprises.
For sure. For sure. I'm going to miss our babies.
Yeah, they're always just like a sort of a shake-up or something you're not quite expecting in there.
Oh, yeah.
And you're so right about like the season format. Like, knowing that the creators have the ending they want in store, because you do. You have, like, there's a few different types of the way this show goes, where the show can, you know, last for a longer go for longer seasons, but the writers are just like pushing out stories that they don't really want to tell, or it's the opposite and they've been told they have to shut down the seasons, like the show's cancelled and they have to wrap it up. But you can tell that the creators had other stories in mind, even if it's like a good ending. You're like, well, they could have told more. So the fact that they, you know, this is the perfect ending point, all the creators have the story that they wanted to tell being told, it just feels more comfortable and more right. And so I'm really excited to see where they go with that. The trailer looks great. I mean, the visuals every year get
better
and better.
For sure.
That one shot of the Juggernaut tank on the bridge.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Firing all the rockets.
So good. So
it's
good.
It's very cool. It's very cool. I think also, like, when it comes to like the surprises, it's like they already gave us Adventurous in a trailer.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are they still hiding?
Bringing back the topic of simping for the queens of Star Wars. Right? That's me. That's been me. I've just been like, oh, yes, one of the characters that was like, oh, wait, I love her. Oh, no, mm-hmm. I'm attracted to her. Oh, I might like girls. It's one of those. You know. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you like goth queens, Claire. That's what it is. Holy shit. I love
that
her.
That was me with Kamari Vosa. So I feel like we've got a thing for just Count Dooku's apprentices.
Yes.
Who turn into hot goth chicks.
Yes. Oh, that's why we get along so well, Charlie. Our mutual love for hot goth chicks. Not the Star Wars shit. Not the twisted sense of humor. It's the hot goth chicks.
We love women when they're emotionally tortured.
What is wrong with us?
Not true. We take that back. yeah. It, really cool to see Asajj Ventress. Really interesting. One of the things I really like about her showing up is not only do we actually get to see that design in like on TV, but also just the idea that it ties into the emotional, mystical side of the Bad Batch, which I really like seeing explored. The sort of the mixture of the scientific, mystical elements of, you know, because the underpoint of the series, obviously we've got all the emotional arcs, the clones and stuff, but there is this weird sort of like scary undertone of the cloning scientific elements of the Kaminoan technology and, you know, surviving on the fact that, you know, Jango Fett's legacy surviving on for the clones and how that's being threatened by the Empire. And, you know, Palpatine's clearly up to something, which, as we know, ties into the fact he comes back later on. So I do wonder if actually maybe that ties into Asajj Ventress's role, as, you know, she got buried in that Night Sister pit. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're known to not lie down resting well. So I'm interested to see.
It also brings an interesting, perhaps, tease of Thrawn arriving at Dathomir at the end of Ahsoka with what looked like a lot of coffins.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, if there's some sort of thing of resurrection and whatnot, I think it's very exciting. And I think, contrary to what the internet and grifter media will tell you, there's always a reason to bring these characters in. And so I'm excited to see why her, like, why did they want her?
For sure.
So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see how they have sort of been able to continue her story, knowing what we know from the novel.
Yeah. And Star Wars has a really excellent track record of reviving people from the dead. Most successfully in animation, of course, but somehow Asajj Ventress has returned. It's not out of the question. It's a Star Wars trope that we're running with now. Thought you could
get that. It surprises
gotcha.
People.
I know.
2024.
Right?
It's like, it is just part of it.
It's just
like,
guys, you can't just bring back a very successful, villainous, grey, middle area character who's from Dathomir. There's no precedent for this. There's none in the series.
Yeah, crazy. Weird about that.
No.
Hang on a second. No, you're right. And it's so ludicrous. For me, like, the pros of the story, like, pros in terms of just, like, storytelling decisions and ways you can go outweigh any negatives. Even before they had to come out with the statement, they had to come out with the statement. It was just part of the, you know, the website, the press release.
But they knew they had to come out with the statement.
They did.
They were ready for the glasses being pushed up their nose through Twitter. They were ready.
Yeah. And it was like, it's just so lame that we have to do that. But yeah, Brad Rao obviously spoke out and said how, you know, it does tie into the events of the book, which, spoiler alert, Ventress dies in. And
no.
It's very interesting to see how that all comes together. Because for me, I just feel like there's just so much more storytelling opportunity to go with that in terms of the Bad Batch. But also, I don't know about you guys, but I finally got Jedi Survivor at Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
You done did it, baby!
I finally got PlayStation 5. And
it's pretty cool.
I'm just finishing off like the last few bits to get the platinum. But there's a lot in that game that actually, to me, you know, I'm very intrigued to see where they go in the third game, because I feel like there's a lot of elements from both Kenobi and the Bad Batch which could tie into that show, to that game. Mm-hmm. You know, the Jedi Survivor games is left with a Jedi who is romantically entangled with a Dathomiri witch,
pew, 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 pew.
Who is struggling spooky with the dark queens. Side.
We love spooky queens.
And is helping out, you know, this group of collective Jedi survivors or potentially, you know, Force sensitive. Now, where have we seen that before? And who's been involved in that sort of thing? Quinlan Vos, who is with Asajj Ventress, who's a Dathomir witch, who's been dealing with the dark side, struggling with it, and is helping out these group of people. So that'd be an interesting sort of story beat. Like, you know, maybe he helps him, Cal, get over that sort of period. It's just, there's loads of interesting story beats to sort of push forward through, and I just don't see the downsides, really.
Yeah, it's like poetry, you know, and it rhymes.
You know what it is? It's, we have, for a long time now, I don't know who to blame. I'm going to start blaming Red Letter Media. And CineSins, I think, is the CinemaSins, yeah. Something like that. Like, we live in the gotcha culture of sort of online media consumption. So it's like, it's not the like, of course, the fun thing is to see something that has like challenged what you know, and to be excited by that, because that's like, oh my gosh, what's this? This is new. This is gonna be so interesting. But you know, because we live in this era of, well, but you didn't, kind of thing. Like, that's why it's annoying, because it's like people have sort of left behind the sort of innocence of excitement. What's it? The rule of cool, right? Like,
yes.
They've left that behind in favor of wanting to be smarter than the people making the thing.
Yeah.
And so that's an unfortunate byproduct of, honestly, a byproduct of what we're doing right now. because it's been amplified by the fact that everybody can just plug in and say whatever they want.
Yeah. Our bad, guys. We did this.
Yeah.
It's true. Part of the problem. Yeah, cool. But it's okay, because we're going to monetize it.
yeah. That's what it's about.
Yeah, baby, it's what it's about. Just putting out gibberish on the internet and hoping there's no ramifications. Off the topic, I'm releasing my fan film. If you want to help promote that.
We're selling lightsabers to raise money for the fan film. They're $3,000.
Yeah, but you can help us by buying these caps to cover our bald heads. if you would... Yeah, and I think it's so funny that you were saying about that, because for me, one of the weirdest criticisms about Star Wars is the whole Mace Windu thing, about how he's so adherent to the doctrine. But I'm pretty certain that most of the people that have that criticism are so adherent to their own doctrine.
That's fucking it. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They can't break their own idea of canon, quote unquote, to the extent that it ruins any sort of sense of fun or enjoyment or exploration.
Yeah.
Which is sad, really, because that's all stories are. Like, the way, if you, I don't understand people that view Star Wars as this like historical documentary. It's not. It literally says a long time ago.
It's literally a myth.
It's a myth. It's not all of it's true. Like, it might not be true at all. It might be a galaxy telling these stories that make you feel better about yourself, or don't be evil. That's the moral of the story. So
it's a solid one.
It's a pretty good one. Also, don't kiss your sister.
Another solid one. By the way,
no.
Previous don't Survivor kiss your sister winner.
A lot.
Oh, but yeah. Sorry, Nikki. You're right.
Don't kiss her a lot. But no, I'm just saying, previous Survivor winner and a Kentucky state representative tried to pass a bill where you could marry your cousin.
That's right.
Or no, you could have sex with your cousin.
Yeah, it wasn't considered incest.
It was.
Yeah, they reduced
they kept that one out.
They reduced it to just fingering, right?
And to think that goddamn, I hate you. Goddamn, Mike White lost in the final tribal council to that clown.
Sorry, there's someone called Mike White.
Yeah, you mean the writer and creator of the White Genius? Lotus and School of Rock, that Mike White?
Ned Schneebly.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he lost Survivor to that guy. He was on Survivor as well after he'd done School of Rock and stuff, which is also incredible, because every time he won a reward, he'd be sitting there with his glass of wine and just getting hammered because he hasn't eaten in like 20 days. Oh, he was great. He was the mood.
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you should go Google Mike White on Survivor. He's just sitting there in his little purple buff and he's sipping wine is most of the gifts. It's great.
I'm sorry, but if you have a kid and your surname is White, don't quit Mike.
Is your takeaway from this? That's your takeaway?
I mean, it's a takeaway.
Fair.
If you're angry with me, man, Charlie, I guess you're the one with the opinion on it.
Thank you.
That's right. All the Mike Whites are going to be coming out of the woodwork on the internet to cancel the Imperial Senate podcast.
What did that one person call us that one time? Was I the...
We've been called a lot of things, I'm going to be honest with you. Oh, true.
Yeah, you got to be more specific there.
Yeah. I think it was an amateur's claptrap, wasn't it? It was a favorite. Yeah, it's like... Yeah. We'll leave that one. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Like the whole, people need to read more myths because I think, and the history of myths.
Let me just say it. Let 2024 be the year where fandom becomes about discovery again and not being entrenched and thinking, or like being willing to say, I wasn't into this kind of thing before, but now I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
And because I think there's so much, like, even with Bad Batch, you saw people who are like, I don't want a shooty show. And it's like, how about you just watch it and see if you like it? And it, like, it's just, it's tiresome. It's tiresome to have to keep up. I think that's like another, it's a huge part of certainly why I felt, needing the podcasting break, because it's like, the internet is exhausting in every way, and it's hard to not do, or it's hard to do a show and not feel like you have to answer all of it, because it's like, this is my chance to fire back because I need to, and I think that is a very sort of like taxing position to be in. So instead of doing that, I will also do that, but I want to encourage more people to be open, be excited to be challenged, because it's fun. It's fun to be like, oh, this wasn't my corner of Star Wars before, but I'm kind of into it.
Yeah. I'm excited that this is the year where I feel like we can hopefully encourage people to like reflect on the things that made them fall in love with this franchise in the first place. Cause I feel like a lot of people are getting disenfranchised in this time, and they're just really losing their sense of that childlike wonder that we used to look at Star Wars with. And I'm really excited because I feel like that's something that the three of us have talked about doing more, is reflecting on the things that we truly love about Star Wars. And like, that's going to be reflected in our content. And it's going to be freaking fun, guys. This is fun. This is silly. It's fun. It's meant to be, it's meant to sit back and take in a story. It's not supposed to be, you know, about all these little details and fact checking everything. It's literally, these are stories in a fictional universe that you're supposed to sit back and take in a story. Why don't you leave it at that? Because there's been so many times, and you can't sit here and tell me that somebody's made you watch a show where you're like, I don't know about that. And then you sit down and you're like, oh, wait, no, this actually is really good. Star Wars. Just to give yourself the opportunity and come in with the mindset that you're just here to take in a story and enjoy what it's supposed to be, which is entertainment.
The reason I like Star Wars is because I monetized my negative.
You have to lose the house. I'm so sorry.
If I'm positive, I can't pay my bills.
Oh, no.
I feel like, isn't that going to be bad for your health? Just focusing on that shit all the time? Doesn't your blood pressure get up? No, not when those checks come in.
Yeah, your hair might fall out.
Depends how good an actor you are.
Your hair might fall out.
Oh, well. No, it's yeah. And I feel like we're not prone to falling into that trap where we have to be like, well, actually, let's talk about it. That's just, you know, I can't be bothered. I don't want to fall into that trap of like just arguing about it as well. It's interesting.
So unserious.
Yeah.
Especially, it's like when you go through something in life that is serious, Like, you, I mean, everyone does. You get that perspective of, like, what the hell is everyone doing? Like,
yeah. Why, this is like, so
why
trivial.
Is this the thing? And it could be anything. And it could, like, and it's one of those things. It's like, there are serious societal issues that are important to discuss. And even those get, sort of like appropriated into an insane, like, you know, online morality contest. Like, what's the point? This isn't how things are supposed to be done.
No.
So it's just like, yeah, it's such an unserious space being co-opted by people who think they're being serious.
Yeah.
And what
there's a character
that.
Named Droopy McCool who looks like a tardigrade who plays the saxophone. Okay. Come on.
Yeah, but he was a civil rights activist, Claire. That's not
I can't.
No, he fought for those schools. Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's like, come on, we need to just relax. Like you said, like, real stuff is happening. And I think what amplifies what you were saying, Nikki, as well, is the fact that people seem to forget the internet and social media is a very small place. I know it doesn't seem like it is.
Yeah.
I know it seems like there's a lot of people out there. But I guarantee you, the world's a massive place. There's loads more going on. And the internet, particularly a website, the artist formerly known as Twitter, very small.
Yeah.
Very small minority.
Contained bubble.
And if you think that you're on the right side, quote unquote, whatever, like, that is the small representation of the world. Like, you need to just, you know, a lot of nuance has been sucked out of everything, and I feel like we've talked enough about it. Should we just have fun?
I just have
Thank
one
God,
point,
yeah.
Because it always makes me laugh.
Yeah, go, go.
Then we can move on. It's like, it's always funny to me how sort of like the online Star Wars fan thinks Star Wars fandom is, because it's like,
yeah,
we're pretty well versed in what's going on, but there are lifelong Star Wars fans in the real world who, for example, have no idea the High Republic even exists.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they don't even know. If the only reason they would know is if they were, like, walking past the Star Wars section in Barnes & Noble. And they're like, oh, cool. Like, what's that? So, again, it's like, that perspective is, I think, very necessary for, I don't want to say younger people, but almost this idea of people who have lived in the sort of there's always something on Disney Plus and everybody's online talking about it era. Because it's like, it's just not the case. That's not how the real world is.
Right.
Or like the outside world. So it is just like, let's have some perspective and let's have some fun. And sort of, again, it's like sort of being, you got to be in love with a thing, right? Like, that's why we do this. This is why this is a hobby. This is why it's nice, because it's like, you can love Star Wars, and that doesn't mean Star Wars has to make you happy every, 100% of the time. Just like a person you love doesn't make you happy 100% of the time.
Damn,
sometimes
right.
It piss you off. So it's like, just embrace that. That's the experience. That's what it's about.
Perfect.
Are you trying to say that the average Joe who doesn't know the Dark Droids comic arc aren't a Star Wars fan?
Fake fan.
Look.
Beat them up.
We
can't save everybody.
He can't save everybody.
According to Bounty Hunters issue 4. Yeah, no, you're right. I think people, especially, it's weird as well, because it's like movie, I feel like journalists and film people also seem to mistake the general, because I feel like the general consensus is that most people like most of the Star Wars films. I don't think there's this massive hatred of 8 and 9 that most seem to have.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, where I remember, like, somebody getting really mad at me because they called The Last Jedi divisive, and I was like, I don't really think it's that divisive. And they're like, no, it obviously is. I'm like, no, because when I hear divisive, I feel like everybody is fighting about it.
Right.
Yeah. Or like, because when it comes down to it, the people who want to start shit over, say, The Last Jedi is a very small minority.
For sure.
Like, whether you love it and want to start shit or hate it and want to start shit, that's actually, I think, a pretty small amount of people. And then it's polarizing, maybe, as any other movie might be, because we know people who hate Endgame, right? Like,
yeah,
because again, it's like we live in this time period where Endgame solved everything and Marvel's never been good after. But like, you know, it's not that big. It's not that big an issue, but people think it is because that's how it is online. And yeah, I think most people have a at best or at worst meh response, right? Like, they right. watch it once and they don't think about it again.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I'm not spending every day of my life thinking about Endgame. In fact, that's the first time I've thought about Endgame in several days.
There you go.
So there you go.
And the last time I thought about it was on like TNT or something.
Oh yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there it is.
It's, yeah, problem. It's, you know, don't lose sleep over it.
Yeah.
No one else.
Again, it's really not that serious.
That felt cathartic. That felt very good to just, you know,
2024.
Get that out of the way.
New year, new me.
And then we can just jump in to what we love. I mean, what's your favorite Star Wars thing at the moment? Like, what has sort of, you know, sparked that little bit of joy in you right now? I'm interested. Nikki, you go.
Ooh. Right now, I think I'm very into this sort of, I'm trying to think how to best describe it. It's like this return of Thrawn pocket.
Yeah, so baby.
Like the 7 and 8, or even just 7 of Mando season 3 with the little Shadow Council meeting, and then into Ahsoka, and I'm so, I guess, like, occupied, I guess, in my head about just the Hera Tribunal scene, like, alone.
Mm.
Was just so amazing to me to see all these like New Republic officers and Admiral Akbar and Hera and her and Carson in those dope, like, kind of semi-formal uniforms. And of course 3PO. And so it's just like, and it's like that whole sort of the state of the galaxy right now, in terms of the sort of active storytelling, I think is very interesting to me. Before Ahsoka came out, I was like, I don't think I've been this excited for an era since like the months leading up to The Force Awakens.
Mm.
It feels super exciting. It feels like a lot of cool things are sort of feeding into each other with like Mount Tantus and Bad Batch and the Thrawn live action stuff that we're getting and the New Republic, and it's also lining up with like this historical mode I'm in as well, where I started getting really fascinated with like immediate post-war World War II.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, Nuremberg.
Yeah, and like how honestly just like societies put themselves back together,
mm-hmm.
and sort of the status of military things and like even like World War II aviation has been huge on my mind since Adelphi Base. like it's so weird how these things like connect. So with that being said, Masters of the Air, it's my jam. And so yeah, I think that is the long answer of I'm very, very excited about what potential exists within this sort of like Thrawn issue for the little New Republic.
Love.
That's so interesting, yeah.
Love!
The historical, like you said, the historical bits I love so much, and I always delve into, every time I watch Star Wars, I have to like dive in, whether it's medieval or, you know, like you said, recent history, World War II. And the, yeah, like you were saying, like just the, especially like the redundancy, the leftover parts of society, and the idea of, you know, people that didn't necessarily follow, believe in a regime, who are being reacclimated to society, and then those who do, and or like hit it well, like that sequence in episode 2 of Ahsoka where you see all the people working at the Corellian plant.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just all turn on the dime. You're like, oh god, like they really are in, deep in that strata of society. And you just it makes the underpinning of the latter stages of like the franchise seem really interesting in terms of like how easy the First Order came back into power, and you know,
yeah. I mean, it's an absolute theme of life, right? Or sort of the world on that sort of political scale, where it's like when you allow that sort of level of violent radicalism to fester, right? Like,
yeah.
When you don't get rid of it, when you have, you know, all kinds of concessions made, let's say, it's like that's the danger. You know, things don't go away.
No.
Because you win once, right? Like, we don't, otherwise we would have fought one war and none would ever happen again. So it's like, yeah, it speaks to something very prevalent in just sort of how we exist.
And how open it is as well, in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. I was watching an interview last night. It was on the BBC archive on Instagram, which is a great resource if you haven't followed it. And it just shows old clips from TV shows and stuff. And it was Oswald Mosley on telly, talking like openly, like talking about how, you know, we shouldn't have entered World War II and how the Nazis wouldn't have done blah 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 blah. And it's like, how on earth did these people not only have positions of power but have support and get to spout it on live television? It's like, and you know, after all we do and all the patriotic stuff we talk about, and like, you know, there's people that just spout that rubbish and continue to do it. And it's interesting, like, it, there's such an interesting, yeah, like, delve into that. And I'm really glad we're getting a mixture of the politics alongside the, you know, the mystical side of things. And like you were saying, like, the biggest enemy of democracies and stuff is apathy. Mm-hmm. It's the apathetic nature of, yeah, well, we fought the war and it's, you know, we won. But we have to take things very fairly, to the point where you're just giving everything to the people that take advantage of it. And it's just, yeah, scary times are very relevant, which is always, you know, as is always the case.
Right. Like, that hits a little too close to home now, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
But, you know, it's mid, really. The show's mid. It's like, let's spend, you know, 20 minutes talking about how it's reflecting the degradation of our society. And
it's not quite Andor. Like,
no, you know, 4 out of 10.
What about you, Claire?
You know, lately I've been trying to get back and to catch up on some of the comics that I've missed. But the one big thing I've been doing, and it makes me a little sad, is this upcoming Wednesday, as of the time we're recording this, I'm not sure when this is coming out, but this upcoming Wednesday is the final issue of Dr. Aphra. Which, yeah, not okay. It's fine. But I've been rereading from the beginning just to get my feelings ready to get squished. And I'm hoping that the reason that this is ending, because there were so many incredible stories going on and so many different plot lines that could have been explored in that series, at least explored further. I hope that means that there's big plans for Aphra in some other capacity, either in an animated show or a live action show or in a book but I'd prefer it to be a show because I love her. And I've just been really, really, really vibing with Alyssa Wong's writing, representation of queer romances of all varieties. And there's so many in that series that are just like, oh, I feel like I haven't had a romance in Star Wars since like Hera and Kanan that I could really latch on to, you know, that I've really felt have moved me until the Aphra series. And there's been so many of these incredible, incredible stories and incredible personalities. There's so much charm. There's so much. It just, this character and that comic run brings me so much joy just because they're like, you're reading a comic book by yourself and there's moments where I'm just sitting there like laughing to myself or like audibly reacting while there's so many delightful, surprising twists and it's fun to go back and read it all back to back to back to back to back as opposed to waiting for the next issue because it's just making me appreciate it all the more. So I'm gonna miss my girl. I hope that means that Aphra's coming back some other way because too good of a character to just leave forever. And I'm sure there'll be comic runs and stuff in the future and appearances and other stuff. But I've really been and trying to go through all the Bounty Hunters comics. I haven't read those. So I'm starting to get into those too. So I'm trying to catch up on some of my comics and get ready for my sad and warm, heartfelt goodbye to Dr. Aphra.
I think I speak for all people when I say Chloe Bennett as Dr. Aphra, please make it happen.
I can see it.
I don't think that'd be healthy.
What, for us to, for
we're
us two
not
in particular.
Okay. We're not okay.
It's just going to be like the that series
it's
of us
like,
talking about it.
Like, I want to have some semblance of peace. You know,
it's just like a 45-minute simp fest every episode. It's like, hey, do you want to have a watch party? No, I need to watch this alone. No, I will not do reactions.
Like, you don't want to see me watch this.
It's the video podcast. It's just Claire talking whilst me and Nikki are drooling from our chins.
It's so true. Oh, but gosh, could you imagine? I'm scared. I don't want them to do something where I hope they don't end Aphra's story. Aphra's in a very, without spoiling it if you don't read it, where they left the penultimate issue, she's in a very precarious spot and she's in some big danger. Big, big, big danger. I'm like, if you kill her, I will fucking destroy it. No, I trust you, Alyssa Wong. I trust you.
But big danger, right?
Big danger.
Tom Hanks.
That's exactly it. Tom Hanks has entered the comic.
It's just as himself.
Still better than Carlos Danger.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious. But yeah.
Now, after comics are like my biggest Star Wars blind spot. I so rarely like delve in there.
They're hard to keep up with.
They are, and there's just a lot, right? Yeah. Obviously. So, like, at best, I'll get one of the, like, trade issues where they're sort of all, like, combined in into, like, one book. Which The Blade, Charles Soule's The Blade, is very cool for a Phase 2 High Republic people.
Oh, Charles Soule. What a king.
Yeah. What a guy, yeah. But, yeah, I also want good things for Dr. Aphra. Because as for a character I don't have much sort of like knowledge of or like investment in, I think she does occupy a very cool sort of archetype of character, and so I think it'd be cool. I mean, we already got Chrysanthemum hanging around, right? Like
he's
we've seen him on our screens. I think it'd be such a fun. They could do like such a fun little like mini series, like non continuous sort of episodes. So like, you know, like just an adventure.
A young Indy.
Exactly. Yeah. That was exactly what I was going to say. Young Indiana Jones adventures. We're finding some ancient artifact from whatever planet, and there could be so many episodic adventures.
Right? Yeah, it can just be this sort of very breezy kind of fun. That was a cool thing we did this week.
Yeah. It could occupy that Mando space that seems like it may not be coming back on an episodic. I mean, I don't know if it will or not, but yeah, it could occupy that kind of space, that monster of the week, that adventure of the week, it'd be pretty cool. She's really funny and she's cute and she's smart and she's like going to stab you in the back, but she's going to do it in a funny way. So at least there's that.
I think for that reason, I think I feel like people can feel she'll be safe.
Yes.
Because it's something that's so like, well, you'd be an idiot to take that off the table.
100%.
So it's like, but then again, you know, Dave Filoni can just resurrect her. So,
exactly. <yeah.
laughs> Star Wars baby.
Yeah. Let's see. I hope for good things.
I just think that she's the perfect, like you said, like it's the perfect show because it's like you said, like Young Indie, it's like a perfect formula you can do different adventures every week. You could have a rotating guest star list.
Yeah.
Which would be really fun.
You mean like cameos? That character,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. You can have loads of pointless cameo. In
I'm
the,
so sick of them, in, though. Yeah, I don't want them. I'm going to write an article about it.
In these filler episodes, which mean nothing, we will be exploring. No, I think it's a perfect opportunity as well to, you know, from a logistics way of looking at things, you can explore different genres and different eras without having to necessarily take it place in that era.
Yeah.
You know, battle droid showing up because, you know, she's maybe investigating.
She's had
it.
Battle droids show up, resurrect themselves, secret, you know, infected with the virus, got to stop it. Okay. We've got a precedent for this, people. We can explore all different cool alien planets and cultures,
Zepho,
and locations, and vibes. Come on. It'd be so
we've got
cool.
A lot of cool Dathomiri, like sort of architecture and history that got explored a little bit in Ahsoka, which is really cool.
Yes.
We need Dr. Aphra scuba diving, looking for shit from the wreckage of Starlight Beacon.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Is it bad that literally I just thought, I'm like, oh my god, are we going to the Mon Calamari? Are we going to see
King Lee Char?
King Lee Char.
R.I.P. to a real one. Drinks in the air.
I like that. I like your thought much better, Nikki. I'll take that. That's much cooler. Starlight Beacon. The comics.
The comics as well for me. I feel like I did love the comics. I'm not always a big fan of some of the story beats they go with, but that's fine.
But Aphra,
I think
don't
for
miss.
Me, it's
Aphra
the difficult. Yeah, Aphra has always been great, but the difficulty for me, like you said, is keeping up with it. Like I'm way behind on normal comics as is. Like I'm like 2 years behind on certain things, mm-hmm. and judging by some people's reactions, maybe it's a good thing that I'm behind. Sorry, Spider-Man, but I'm not catching up on that.
I heard that the new one's really good, though.
But the new Spider-Man comic.
There's a new... Oh, yes.
Yeah, see, Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yes. Apparently, yeah. Ultimate Spider-Man is amazing. And
yeah,
I don't
Ultimate
know.
Yeah, Ultimate Spider-Man's great. I read that issue. That first issue is great. The main title. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I haven't read it, so I don't have any...
Like, the closest I caught up with was with Vader. I really liked the Vader run with Greg Pak. I know that people have been, like, down on it recently. There's some things I've like read about that book which makes me go, oh, yes, okay. I mean, I'll be honest, it's hard to like just, I tried to get into characters' mindsets, and if there's loads of women that look like Natalie Portman, I would too try to sleep with them.
Wait,
that's a plot line?
Yeah,
it's a plot line,
it's the Handmaidens.
Oh, like, I see.
Vader and the Handmaidens, and he's
okay.
He's like, I think it's Dorme, no, Sabe that he's like wants
he's
to sleep
to fuck
with. Like,
Sabe?
That's the storyline of Darth Vader. Yeah, I'm pretty
what
certain.
Fuck? What the fuck? Now I want to read this.
Darth Vader finishes, and he's like, "My
that
occupation
did it.
Here
like,
has ended."
I'm sold. I'm picking up the issue. What the fuck?
He's like, we can rule, right? And it's like, maybe not.
Isn't that Keira Knightley?
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
I think that was Keira Knightley.
Indeed it was.
I mean, he's like, Natalie Portman, Keira Knightley. Yes to both. Yes and yes.
She just looks at Vader's like memory drive. And she goes, they're all of me.
Not all of me.
To do it again.
I can't. I don't know if I can. No. It's so toothy. How do I do it? Not all of me. It doesn't sound right. It didn't sound right coming. I'll work on it. Yeah, next episode, fine. You'll get a whole monologue as Keira Knightley. It might be from Pirates, but you get what you get, and you'll deal with it.
Pirates. I feel like for me, the comics got difficult when I was like, there's no way your life was this exciting.
Yeah.
Like when I think of the rebellion between Yavin and Hoth, like, I think, honestly, it was probably boring, like, for a lot of it. And I think there was, I remember just seeing comics and be like, you're doing too much.
Right.
you Luke Skywalker are doing too much. You need to chill out. And they're like, you know, between 4 and 5, it's like, we fought Darth Vader 6 times. Like, to me, that just doesn't fit, sort of the vibe of the movies.
No, not really.
That I sort of have. Like I really, in my head, like, struggle to imagine Luke ever encountering Darth Vader between Yavin and Bespin. Like, so when the comics, and so, like, one or two times can be interesting, but like they're always like meeting that guy.
Again.
The War of the Bounty Hunters one, which is a very cool, like, story idea. I think it was this one where like Kira has the big Han Solo auction.
Yes, and it was, it's rad.
Like, why are they just chilling in a room with Darth Vader?
Yeah, that was a bit surprising to me, but you know.
Yeah. So it's just like a lot of cool ideas in comics, but not things that I think line up with what I'm sort of thinking about.
Yeah, there's like the key moments which I feel like I take, like, I don't, okay, that's how it happened, and then there's some moments I'm like, you know, maybe that's a retelling.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't that exciting. Like for me, like, big moments that I really enjoy are the Vader moment with when Boba Fett tells him that the pilot's name was Skywalker.
Yes.
So good.
Oh, so good.
That was a very early heavy hitter.
Yeah. Yes. And like there's moments like that. There's the Greg Pak Vader run has the early part of his run was very good, I thought. Like the Ochi Pastoon, the whole aspect of Vader finding out that Luke's his son after Empire.
I'm sorry. Going
to try and
but laughing because of the audiobooks and how they voice Ochi of Bastoon.
Oh god, Ochi, I don't want to know.
Bastoon.
Ochi voiced by Bill Hader.
Yes.
But
it's so good.
Ooh. In the comics, that first arc with Vader is so interesting because it's literally like after Empire. He's like, fuck the Emperor. Like, I'm going to go kill him. So he goes straight to Coruscant. And he's like, fuck you, dude. And the Emperor's like, well, fuck you. Like, he like beats him up, basically. Dumps him back on Mustafar. And it's like, cuts his limbs off again. He gets set on fire again. And he's like, make your way back, bitch. Don't use the Force. See ya. And so he has to use all the like technical stuff. And like, I think the ship that Anakin had originally is still there. And he's like fixing it. And then he goes. He finally tracks the Emperor. He goes to the what's the baby from Episode 9 called? The big one that got cancelled. The Webbish Bog.
Oh, I have Webbish Bog.
Yeah, gets the tracker. Goes to Exegol. Sees the power that Palpatine actually has, and is like, okay, yeah, fuck this. I'm gonna do whatever you want. Like, and that's why in Episode 6 he's like, there's nothing we can do, son. Trust me. Trade it. Not worth it. So I like those like elements of it, but then there are like, yeah, like you said, like him simping after Sabe, and
I'm so excited to read that.
Like the war of the bounty hunters, and you know, like all that stuff. I'm like, okay, well, maybe that didn't exactly happen the way you think. There's only so many times you could just about lose track of Han.
It's true.
It's like, Ah, drat. It's like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Yeah, it's like maybe things weren't quite as interesting.
Yeah. And that, and again, you're like, yo, that doesn't sell comics. You can't have Luke sitting in the canteen being like, I miss Han.
Exactly. It's an interesting pocket, which is why I don't go to it that often. But it is fun to, like you said, sort of take the things that really like add. It's sort of like the From a Certain Point of View book. Like,
for sure,
some of those short stories really insert themselves into how you like process certain characters and scenes, and then some of them don't, and that's fine. But you know, you can sort of take what you like and have enrichment that way.
And I really do hope that Aphra gets a good sort of send off, and there isn't like a closing of that chapter, because, you know, even if she gets a new series or whatever, like TV show adaptations or whatever, but in terms of the comic book, I hope that she isn't killed off, and I hope that she doesn't get fate, because there's two options you can have, right? You can have the good option where you come back later on with your own series, whatever. And then there's the other option, which is that you get a new comic book series drawn by Salvador La Roca, and you just don't want that.
Is he the tracer?
Yeah.
Sucker.
And they keep hiring him. I don't know why. It drives me mad, because
they
take me out
the
book.
Update their Rolodex.
It drives me mad because I see where the images are from.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's Han and A New Hope talking about, you know, myths and stuff. It's like, stop it.
Yeah. I just hope that if there is another series, that Alyssa Wong writes it as well. Because Alyssa is everything. I love them.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where they go. For me, I really did enjoy Jedi Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
It's good
Nikki,
shit,
you're going to hate me for this, but I really tried my best. I really tried my best to be a Jedi.
He failed. He told me that he tried and he gave up right away, Nikki.
That's sad. You are not a true Jedi.
Those little turkeys are little cunts. I'm saying it here. I'm like, I tried my best. I was trying to be nice to them. I was like, look, I'm walking around you, buddy.
Somebody and call Peter.
They can do what they want. They were steaming at me, my friend. I was like, do you know what? It's a dark time. It's literally called the dark times. You got to do what you got to do.
Level up, baby. All those turkeys, what's up?
Oh my god!
I'm not getting eaten by a rankle for the 15th time. I've got to do something here. So I tried my best. I really enjoyed the story. Again, I've read the Light of the Jedi, but this game is what really sort of pushed me to be like, okay, I need to get back into the High Republic, because there's so...
I'm so far behind. Yes,
I'm so happy to see the aesthetics of that era and the storytelling behind it, and just seeing it in screen for like the first time was pretty fun.
That plot is so cool. I love that with what's his butt. I can't remember his name.
Dagon Gera.
Thank you. That one.
And getting to see Gendai was fun. Gendai.
It's so like High Republic is just continually so rich, and it's like I've read probably only 10% of it, but I still love it because I've read the core like Del Rey novels and one or two of the sort of like middle grade novels, and like it's just every single time you read a High Republic thing, you're just like, I want to be a Jedi.
Yes!
Yeah, it makes you want to be better than you are.
Yeah.
And that's what I like seeing. Because sometimes it's a bit difficult to sort of sell the whole nature of the Jedi in terms of, you know, based on the prequels alone. Because the whole point of the prequels is to show a degraded Jedi Council, a degraded version of what they should be. And I feel like sometimes people forget that. And it's so easy to dog on the Jedi and be like, well, they were a corrupt institution and they were sucking and they were... And when you see them at that height and what they can represent and what they can do, it's so...
They were kicking ass for thousands of years.
Not only does it enhance the Jedi themselves, but also it enhances those other stories and shows you how deep the decay goes and how it is a tragedy. People forget it's a tragedy.
I mean, that was one of the like real gut punches of the High Republic, Because when phase three began, they have the comic panel that I think got released earlier, of the like council members sort of issuing these like new edicts. And it's like research outposts are being abandoned or like only manned by droids. Sort of like lightsaber combat is being pushed earlier. It's just all these like different things, like Padawans are being accelerated into graduating. And it's like all these things that have like kicked into place to where you can see, oh, this is why they're not as interesting.
Yeah.
Like this is how they sort of blunted their institution. And yeah, it's cool to see how that stems from this sort of conflict with the Markian.
Dude, Star Wars is good, actually. There's so much. Like, things have made you, if you're down on some other parts of Star Wars, like this conversation alone, there's so much shit that's so good out there that it just, I know it's a controversial take because we do a Star Wars podcast and all, but I kind of like this stuff. I'm excited.
Interesting.
Okay.
Go on more on that.
It's a cool theory.
How long do you got?
But yeah, no, it's very, very cool how it all ties together, even though they have no point.
And yeah, the story of the game, obviously, like really cool. The planet exploration of Kobo was interesting. Yeah. I love seeing Jedha in the game, and you know, the heartbreaking, you know, delving into that whole, like exploring the elements of the Kenobi that were mentioned, and hopefully be explored a little bit more in the next game. Maybe we'll get to see a few characters from that show appear in the game, which would be really cool. Yeah, there's so much to explore, and I like Cal's direction, and you know, it was sort of a different take on the whole dark side influence, because it's not someone willingly like falling into it. It's someone desperately trying not to, and I feel like that's so interesting.
Yeah.
The casual clawing at you, and you do feel bad when you use the dark side in the game.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm in this spot, and you're like, I gotta press the button, but I don't really want to do it. Yeah. And then you're like, ha, this is cool. And then you're like,
oh, but that it's was like, it's, I like after, nothing.
It's like after you masturbate, you just feel terrible.
Are you Catholic?
Post nut clarity.
I didn't realize you were Catholic, Charlie.
No, it's the post nut clarity, Claire. You're like, oh.
Post nut clarity.
I shouldn't have done that. What have I done?
I got to be your life.
Your destiny.
You know what? That was a peek inside your bedroom that I did not want, Charlie. Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
Well, we can't all be perfect, Claire.
That's true. That's true. Keep that bar high.
Some of us like seeing old men watch us do it while we push someone else out of a window.
Okay. Okay. Oh, no.
You know, yeah, but no, the game, really cool, really enjoy playing. Hoping to get the platinum this weekend. We'll see.
That'd be cool.
That'd be neat. There's another gay couple in that game, actually, that I thought was like couple goals, which is the two like shitty people that just judge people. The one that looks like Claude from
Yes. Oh, yeah. That is goals.
Queer guys who like
the Statler and Waldorf vibes. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the gay couple I want to be.
Exactly. I relate to them. Oh, which is fun.
So good.
And I just want to say sorry to our good friend David Collins, who I had to murder about a billion times again in this game.
Sorry, buddy.
Easiest to hit.
Talk about resurrection in Star Wars, David Collins.
I know.
Exhibit A.
That's the secret plot of The Bad Batch Season 3, is that Palpatine does enact a clone act, but it's just for this one dude. Maybe it's Rick the Door Technician.
Rick the Door Technician, poor
no
guy.
No clones of him.
Oh, my God. They'd just be bent over backwards into little pretzel shapes.
I also adore any game that involves a little jokey, like, look at this villain, and then you knock him out one punch. It's the best. It reminds me of Spider-Man 2, the movie adaptation, where they had Mysterio, And then the third time you have to fight him, he has like 3 major bars that show up, and you punch him once, and they all go down.
Sucker.
We tricked you. Got you scared for a moment. And he's like, okay, I get you. I love a good comedy beat in a video game. So you guys played that game as well?
Yeah, dude.
I did a watch through.
Okay, cool.
So I'm pretty like, not well, I wouldn't say well-versed, but like aware of most of the beats.
Cool. Claire, what was your like outfit at the end? What was your main outfit to go to?
Oh, my main outfit? I was... Oh my god, what was I wearing? I actually haven't picked it up in a while. I had a handlebar mustache and a mullet. That was
I hate the cow.
America. Fuck yeah. and I'm trying to remember what fit I had him in. My boy looked the perfect amount of redneck white trash. And we were rocking a yellow saber. I didn't platinum it, but I would like to go back and play it some more. It's been so long since I picked it up. Maybe I'm due.
All right, you never know. A bit of fun on the weekend. Just get your redneck cow out.
That's right.
Ugh, I hate just visualizing him.
I love it.
My one was So I've changed it a little bit since then. Now he's a bit like, he's got this sort of traditional like short hair again. And but the look I liked the most was I went with a sort of like a the Three Musketeers style, sort of like a 17th century soldier of fortune with the sort of like the classic, you know, the fighter stance outfit and the long hair, mustache and goatee, like he's Guy Fawkes. That was the go-to one
for me. There we go. That's a good look.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I'm going out there. I'm defending people. I've got to have to look. Watch out, Space Cardinal Richelieu. Did I say Richelieu?
Richelieu? I don't even remember anymore.
Ricochet. Cardinal Ricochet.
Hey, that's a clone trooper.
Back to Star Wars, baby. Yeah. Bulls are gold moment. What happened to that guy, Cardinal?
Are you what?
Oh, don't spoil the character.
Yeah, does he come back outside of the phasma? Know.
I believe yes, but was he in that like Galaxy's Edge book?
I don't know. Charlie, you sounded like you knew something. Do you know something?
No, I was confused because I thought you were genuinely asking about like. You thought this is an Alexander Dumas like podcast.
I was like, I don't know. All I remember is like Tim Curry getting kicked into the water. Like,
oh, goodness. How would that
sound? That's the only Three Musketeers I
know. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, sorry, I can't help you with that. I need to catch up on the Three Musketeers.
Let us know novels. In the comments section. Just kidding, we're not on YouTube. Three Musketeers
explained on YouTube.
Yeah, there we go.
Hey, guys.
So, Cardinal Richelieu.
Appears
in the Bad Batch Season 3.
But he died in...
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine Victoria on YouTube when Sherlock Holmes came back?
Yeah,
I so try not disrespectful.
To, you know. I can't.
Yeah. No, it's a quite a story we've got here.
I can't even read the final mystery the same way.
Oh my god,
Moriarty was unrealistic.
If you actually look at professors at this age, he wouldn't have the knowledge to actually go to Switzerland in that time period.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah, but we're excited. It's good to be back. It's good to talk to you guys. It's been a little while. We're very excited about the show, but we're very excited about just in general this whole like sort of starting up the network, as you would. Just expanding the idea of what the show can be, and there's only so much you can talk about Star Wars news all the time, which we don't want to bore you with, because
without like clawing your eyeballs out with spoons.
And let's be honest, everyone's doing it. Yeah. Everyone wants to hear it 80 times over again.
Yeah.
So we're sort of expanding what we're doing. We're getting our own little, you know, sequences out there, our own little passion projects, and pushing forward and that. So do you guys want to talk about some of the stuff you've been working on?
Mm. Yeah.
The little extra bits.
Yeah.
Sure. You want to go ahead, Claire?
Sure. One thing that I have really enjoyed is doing the video game streams and Imperial Senate game nights. So don't worry, game nights are not going away, but they will have a more consistent time to do them. So we're going to do StreamYard of different video games. If you have any video games you want me to play, just throw them in there. I might go to some retro stuff, some old school Star Wars, some old school not Star Wars, you know, just whatever we feel like playing, because I enjoy it. It's fun to hang out with people while you play a game, and occasionally have some guests on that if people feel like joining in. So it's going to be fun, something that I enjoy. And then game nights, of course, Quiplash, we're going to keep up with those and invite a whole bunch of our friends. And of course, in the chat, you are welcome to play along as well. So we'll probably, this is not, I haven't set a schedule yet, but they will be consistently happening, at least monthly. So that's my plan for it. And then I'm also planning on a databank discussions revival. I already have the concept for the first episode planned. Just got to record it and do it. So databank discussions is coming back. If you know somebody, if you want to nominate somebody who likes a random or background or underutilized character in Star Wars, if you want to nominate them, go ahead and tweet at me at CStrips or send me a DM and let me know, because it's really the whole point of databank discussions is going over the character history of a character that somebody is obsessed with for some weird reason. For example, Salacious Crumb. Who could like them? I don't know. And just then having a conversation with that person and really just focusing on what they enjoy about that character, why they are so delighted, and just like celebrating the weird and underappreciated in Star Wars. So databank discussions, revival, coming back, first episode coming up. Not recorded yet, but it will be soon. That's pretty much it. So come hang out in the video game streams and nominate your friends who like little random weirdos in Star Wars.
Databank discussions. Everybody loves those double Ds.
You know I do, baby. What about you, Nikki?
I like a juice.
Maybe we stop being friends.
And then he motorboats. Yeah. Anyway, on that note, I am going to be doing one of the shows I originally had on Patreon, briefly started, then abandoned. I'm going to be moving the Yub Nub Club off the main Patreon, like the main episode off Patreon, and onto the main feed. It's very loose, very who the hell knows. Not necessarily Star Wars related. That's a fun aspect. And so that'll be sort of coming out. I've got a few episodes planned. I've got one recorded already. And hopefully that's just like a fun way to get a taste of what else is going on out there. Hopefully a lot of overlapping interests and interesting people. And then there will be sort of like an extra, sort of bonus episode, like bonus mini, thing that will go on Patreon for anybody who is, subscribed there as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be an exciting sort of way to do podcasting, but not feel sort of like, we're assigned to Star Wars, you know, right. Sort of this thing of like, we have other things to say about other things we like, and other people's hobbies. So yeah, we'll see where it goes. I don't anticipate really having a set schedule. It might just sort of be like, what do I feel like this week? So yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it turns out to be something very fun and interesting to people.
Much excite. Yeah.
Definitely. And it's like an opportunity to, you know, provide a little bit more for you, everyone who listens, and also get to explore our, you know, get to see a bit of everyone, all the hosts doing their own separate thing and getting to see a little bit more of our personalities. I'm hoping to do a few more stuff in the future, which I'm really excited about, especially if you like history and delving into, you know, the history side of Star Wars and how that relates to the real world and all the mythological sort of links. There's a few things to talk about, which I'm intrigued by and looking forward to sort of diving in every now and again. So yeah, very excited to see that. We're going to have sort of a new schedule for the show, so you'll know when that is, when we drop it out. But yeah, really fun, really cool. Glad to sort of get back in this space where we can just talk about stuff we like and chillax and not have to worry too much. Again, that's a very white way to end the episode. Very white phrases.
Kick back, crack open a brewski and chillax.
Yeah, I'm dressed like Cal from Claire's Game, where I'm just chilling back, wearing a white vest. There's a beer stain on it, and some wings next to me.
I'm not gonna lie, that honestly sounds like a vibe.
I'm just describing Claire.
That sounds like NFL Sunday. Yeah, exactly. We got playoffs tomorrow as of the time we're recording this.
just excited to sort of, like, you know, spread our wings a little bit and give you something else to talk about. Learn how to fly. Ooh, Claire breaking out the Princess Diaries 2 soundtrack.
You're damn right.
As we always do. At the end of every episode of the show.
You know, we really don't have to start that. We don't have to.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Claire will sing that song every week as Keira Knightley. Go ahead.
I can't even do it, man. Just too much teeth. I'll just sing everybody's...
Too Much Teeth is the new show we're going to be putting out on the feed. Starring me, the British one.
Oh, God.
Ironically, I don't have too much teeth. That's a personal thing that hits home. So...
Charlie's not a good poster child for that show.
We have fun. But yeah, where can we find you guys on the internet?
Well, you can find me at Nequetius on Twitter, or now X, which, can we just say right now on the record, what a dumb, like, it might be the worst rebranding of all time.
Horrible.
Because on every, like, official platform, they have to say X, formerly known as Twitter. So, like, nobody even can say it straight. Anyway, whatever. Idiot. Yeah, Nequetius, I'm still on there. Nequetius. That is where I say whatever weird things I want to say. And just stay tuned here. The Up and Up Club's coming out soon. Depending on when this comes out, something may already be out. So that'll be fun. I joined the great legends, Scotty and Jerry, on Bombadcast for a pod racer tier list, which was
perfect. Guest, by the way, you're a perfect guest pick.
It was a good time. It was a lot of fun. Our S tier is a work of art, so check that out on the Bombadcast YouTube. That was a fun time.
Perfect. What about you, Claire?
You can find me on all social medias, probably. I should get Threads. I don't have it, but you can follow me on Twitter, X, whatever the fuck it wants to be called these days. Blue Sky, kind of. I'm sometimes on there. Instagram, TikTok. I'm all at Seastribs, same across everywhere. You can follow me as well on Broaxiom every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I am on the live show Shootin' the Poodoo, where we go over all of the fun pop culture nonsense and just hang out, shoot the poodoo with some friends. And every Tuesday night for Broaxiom at 9 p.m. Eastern, you can catch me continuing my first ever playthrough of Skyrim, which has been delightful and frustrating because that game has got a lot of shit to it, to be honest with you. And but it's been really, really fun, and I appreciate everybody joining in the chat and hanging out. So follow Broaxiom everywhere and subscribe on YouTube to them channels, because that's where you'll find me. How about you, Chale? I love Skyrim.
Oh yeah, what species are you?
Oh, I'm a Nord. I wanted to be a kitty cat.
Let me tell you, Claire.
I want to be a kitty cat so bad.
Khajiit Assassin is the way to go.
Is Khajiit the cat?
You got those soft kitty paws.
Damn it. Literally.
That is the way to go.
I swear to God, Ethan was sitting next to me on the first time that I played, and I'm like breaking my back, like trying to pick the kitty, and he's like, you don't want to be the cat. For the first time we play, don't be the cat. Don't be the cat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fair. But kitty cat. But kitty kitty. So
your adventure is your own to choose.
Yeah. But instead, I am a badass Nord ginger female with a mohawk named Jawbreaker, which is actually kind of cool. So
Jawbreaker.
Yeah, I like the axe. I have a big old axe, and I've been killing some dragons, so I've been breaking some dragon jaws and screaming. I don't know why. Every time I yell at something, I literally like yell. I'm always like, ah! Which is such a funny thing that I yell at things and magic happens. Oh, the true power of being a woman. But anyway.
My tip is that there's a settlement, I can't remember where there's like all these orcs. And if you go in and murder them, they've got this really cool armor.
Okay. All right. Well, genocide. Neat. That's very specific. I'll know. That map isn't big at all. I'm sure I'll be able to find it.
There's some guys somewhere. And they got some armor.
That's how I found it. Two of it.
Well, thank you for that pro tip.
I was a Nord. I can't remember what. I haven't played it for a while. Well, last time I know I had the horned helmet that I had from like a side task, whatever. The Mask of Mirakin. So you can't even see my face, which I like. Mm. Pretty fun. You get the little horse hopping
very
around the mountain.
Very John Cena of you.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I'm aware. When people look at me, they think John Cena. So
yeah, I'm sure, Charlie.
yeah, God knows what they actually think of me.
Good thing
you can find me on the. You can find me on Twitter at cmwashby, and everywhere. Instagram is charliemwashby, but everywhere else is in my bio for those two platforms, so all the links for everything you can find me at is on there. Easy to click on that and explain it, because like you said, you guys, there's 20 million platforms now.
Oh, yeah, I've got one of those in my Instagram bio. I should probably just say that. Go there.
I barely use most of them, but you can find me there. Follow me there. Yeah, that's pretty much it, right?
Until next time.
Next time when we talk about some other things.
Wow, woo! Great teaser, Charlie.
Oh, all right, you come up with it then.
Nah.
If this episode hits 500 listens, Claire will sing a whole song as Keira Knightley.
Fine. Go listen. Yeah.
We good?
I'll prepare.
Cool.
That would be really nice. That's really bad, Keira Knightley. It's awful.
She's got like.
I don't say. Nope. Now I sound like a grandmother. Anyway.
That was a queer older gentleman from Britain. Oh, don't say. Oh, look at you.
Everybody has a queer older gentleman from Britain just waiting to burst
inside
out.
Inside them, yeah. Everyone's got a queer old gentleman inside them, Claire.
Yep.
Just thinking of that. It reminded me of one of my favorite 30 Rock bits where Michael Sheen plays Wesley Snipes. And he's so, like, and he's like, who is more fitting of the name Wesley Snipes? It's like, it's like Wesley Snipes is a British man's name.
It's so true.
And on that note, thank you for listening. We'll be back next time. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Imperial Senate Podcast. If you would like to hear more from the senators, please visit our website at imperialsenatepodcast.com. There you will find links to our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, as well as our Discord server, Twitch, and YouTube channels. You can also email us at imperialsenatepodcast@gmail.com. And please consider leaving a review on your podcatcher of choice. Thanks, and may the force be with you. Dissolve the council permanently. The last remnants.